There is only one New Year's resolution that really matters. And I am going to guess that many of you have already started on your list. You may already have your list done of your resolutions for 2018. We'll talk about those in just a moment, but I want to begin with a quote. And I don't know if I should offer a disclaimer with this quote or not. When you see the source, you will either rejoice that I have chosen an almost divine voice, or you will scoff and hiss and boo because you think this is the voice of the Antichrist, if not Satan himself. So don't really consider the source, just look at the content, okay? Clint Starks, this is for you, buddy. Okay, you only know if you're going to win or lose when you win or lose. So why create any anxiety and look ahead? If you start thinking, what if this happens? What if that happens? Catch yourself and stop. Stay in the moment. Enjoy today. Granted, it was easy for Coach Calipari to say this after a 29-point victory over Louisville the other day. I don't think he was quite this optimistic after they lost to UCLA. In fact, I believe he told his players that they would be more likely to play YMCA basketball than NBA basketball. And as somebody who played YMCA basketball, I took offense to that. But stay in the moment. So today is New Year's Eve, 2017. Another year down. Some experienced milestone years. The success of 2017 will be hard to follow for some of you. Some experienced a year of heartache, and for you, 2018 can't come soon enough. As most are making their New Year's resolutions, many of which will be forgotten and discarded before January of 2018 comes to a close, I want to challenge us today to think differently and in so doing perhaps experience God, experience growth, experience spiritual transformation in a more meaningful way. So what if that were our only resolution for 2018? What if our only resolution for 2018 was to experience God in a richer, deeper, and more meaningful way? Most anybody who makes a list, at least anybody who is Christian or religious or spiritual, most anybody, when they make their list of New Year's resolutions, has on that list somewhere spiritual growth. If you've made a list of resolutions for 2018, probably on your list somewhere, at least I hope, is this idea of growing spiritually. I want to read the Bible through. I want to pray more. I want to do more in my community. I want to help more people. I want to be involved more. I want to do something different in the church that maybe I've not done before. Spiritual growth in some fashion is usually on our list somewhere. Let me challenge us in this coming year to put it number one on the list and maybe forget about putting anything else on the list at all. Because growth in our relationship with God is really all that matters. Now, when we think about New Year's resolutions and we think about the coming year, we generally look at two different areas. We look at the past and we look at the future. So, let's talk first about the past. Raise your hand if you've ever done anything that you wish you hadn't done. Anybody, if you don't have your hand up, you're lying. Okay? If you've ever done anything that you wish you hadn't done, that you regret, that you wish you could go back and do over. Okay? We're all there, right? We've all done things that we regret. My question is, are you still living with it? Does it still haunt you? Do you still beat yourself up over it? Or did you learn from it? You see, the past can be a good thing when we learn something positive from it, when we change and when we become different people and better people, and then use our experience, strength, and hope to help others. When we can reflect on the past in order to make positive changes, then that's a good thing. So we don't want to let the past haunt us. We want to learn from it and build upon it. Let's look briefly at the future. Planning for the future can be a good thing. Planning for the future can be a good thing. It's okay to plan, as long as I know that I am not in charge of the results. It's okay to plan as long as I know that I am not the chairperson of the outcomes committee. Okay? Y'all get that? It's okay to plan as long as I know that it is not up to me to try to manipulate the universe and control the universe to try to bring my plans about. Because you see, planning can become an obsession. If I am consistently and constantly thinking about future events and possible future events, if the first thing I do every morning is to get up and check my online bank statement, if the first thing that I do every day is to check the stock accounts from the previous day, or my anxieties can also become an obsession if I'm constantly worried about having enough food in the refrigerator. That's a legitimate worry in our community. If I'm worried about where the next meal is going to come from, if I'm worried about not having enough money to pay the bill to keep the lights on, or this time of the year to keep the heat on, you know? For many of us, that's not a worry, but for some it is. Anxieties can also become obsessions. So let me just put it this way. What's the first thing that's on your mind when you wake up in the morning? When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that pops into your head? Chances are that could be something that you obsess, not going to the bathroom, okay? Chances are that's something that you obsess about. So my question is, where is God in all of this? Talking about the past, talking about the future, where is God in all this? I don't think that God is an actual being that recognizes time as we humans do. God does not acknowledge past, present, and future like we do. But what I want us to see is that God is not in the past. My regrets and my worries and my do-overs, God's not there. The anxiety that I have, the worries that I have about the future, God is not there. I only find God in the present. I only find God in the right now. Past is past. Future hasn't come about yet. Now is all that we have. This present now. This moment right now is all that we have. Past is past. Future has not come. May not come. Now is all that we have. Now, I don't mean that to sound like the last night at church camp. Okay? And I don't mean that to sound like the last night of the revival or the last night of the gospel meeting where we're about to sing 37 verses of Just As I Am twice. Okay? I don't mean it that way. But it's still a spiritual truth and a reality that all we have is right now. A preacher, teacher that I recently heard made this comment. He said, the best piece of advice that I can give anyone, the best suggestion that I can give to anyone is to learn to live in the present. Learn to live in the present. So many of us, if I could do a survey, I would guess that about 95% of us in this room right now are obsessed about the things we can't change in our past or We are obsessed about the things that will probably never come about in the future. And folks, when we live in one of those two places, we miss where God is in the now. We miss this present now. God is in the now, in this present moment. Right here, right now, is where I experience God. We spend so much time obsessing and worrying and being afraid of the past and trying to control and manipulate outcomes in the future that we miss experiencing God in the present. Maybe you're starting to see why I'm saying there's only one New Year's resolution that really matters. Because when I'm making my list of resolutions and I'm beating myself up over what didn't go right in 2017, and when I'm projecting and becoming anxious over what I want to change about 2018, I am missing the greatest blessing of all. I am missing God now. When our minds are elsewhere, we miss what's in the now. What we're talking about is referred to several different ways. You can refer to it as mindfulness. You can refer to it as living in the moment. You can refer to it as being present. And I don't know who this person is, okay? I'll just tell you that right off the bat. So if you Google James, B-A-R-A-Z, I have no idea what else this person may have said about any other subject, but this is spot on. Mindfulness is simply being aware of what is happening right now without wishing it were different. Enjoying the pleasant without holding on when it changes, which it will. Being with the unpleasant without fearing it will always be this way, which it won't. This is good stuff, y'all. Somebody take a picture of this. Mindfulness. What I'm talking about is simply being aware of what's happening right now without wishing it were different. Enjoying the pleasant without holding on to it when it changes, which it will. Being with the unpleasant without fearing it will always be this way, which it won't. It's learning how to embrace this present now. I'm going to give you five practical affirmations for living in the present. You can write these down in the notes section of your handout, or you can wait till all five are up here and then take a picture of this. Five practical affirmations for living in the now. How can I come to be able to do this? Number one, I've got to realize I am not in control or in charge. I know that comes as a great shock to many of you, that you are not the micromanager of the universe. Okay? But you're not. I am not. I am not in control. I'm not in control of anything. I'm barely in control of me, and I'm certainly not in control of any of you. So, the very first thing I have to do if I am going to be able to live in this moment is to realize I'm not in control. I am not in charge. I am simply going with the flow. How many times have we heard that said? I'm just going to go with the flow. It's a pretty valuable piece of advice, and it turns out to be a spiritual truth as well. And I'm not in charge of the flow. I just go with it, okay? I am not in charge. I am not in control. Number two, I am not sweating the small stuff. Why? Because it's all small stuff. Y'all should know that. There was a book that came out several years ago that says, don't sweat the small stuff because it's all small stuff. In the big scheme of things, in the big picture of reality, it's all small stuff. So don't sweat the small stuff. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. The NIV says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, because it's all small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Jesus found God in disorder and imperfection. And he told us we must do the same or we would never be content on this earth. Don't sweat the small stuff. Learn contentment. Number three, I will not be afraid to recite the Serenity Prayer. If you know it, say it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Learn that, memorize that, and don't be afraid to recite it several times a day. You might find yourself standing in line at Walmart saying the Serenity Prayer and people looking at you like you're crazy, but you know what? You'll have a degree of peace and serenity. Because something mysteriously spiritual happens when we say the Serenity Prayer. It does actually work. What do you think about that? It works. So learn the Serenity Prayer. Don't be afraid to recite the Serenity Prayer. Number four, I will focus on one thing, person, situation at a time. I will focus on what is right in front of me, and I will cherish whatever is right in front of me for the opportunity that is being presented to me in the now. Did you get that? I'll focus on one thing, one person, one situation at a time. I will focus on whatever is right in front of me, and I will cherish whatever is right in front of me for the opportunity that it is presenting to me. That means even if it is unpleasant, even if it hurts, even if it's painful, even if it's something that we would not choose, I need to focus on whatever is right in front of me and cherish it for the opportunity that it is giving me to learn and to grow. None of us will ever grow without pain and hardship. It just doesn't happen. That's where growth occurs. And so whatever it is that I'm going through, whatever it is that is right in front of me, whatever it is that I'm having to deal with, there is an opportunity. What's God trying to do in this moment? What's God going to teach me in this moment? What can I learn? And then how will I better be able to help others and to serve others? But whatever's right in front of me, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever's right in front of me, I want to cherish that for the opportunity that is being presented to me. Now here's one, here I've got to say this, okay? Some of us need help with number four when it comes to electronic devices. Some of you are not hearing a word I'm saying right now because you got your head buried. And you can tell me you're looking at Scripture, but I hadn't quoted any Scripture much yet. Some of you try to carry on conversations with your spouse or with your children while your head is looking at your phone. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, okay, yeah. Hey, I'm guilty too, okay? Put down the electronic device. My mother used to turn the television off whenever she had something important to tell my dad because he never listened. And so she would turn the TV off so that she would have the focus of his attention. Some of us need to do that. I heard of a preacher the other day that said that he takes a Sabbath from technology every week. That means Friday evening at 6 p.m., his computer goes off, his laptop closes, he puts his phone away, and for the next day, for 24 hours, he has no technology. And he and his wife spend that time doing together things and family things. So maybe you want to practice that. Sabbath from technology. Psalm 46:10, there's your first scripture, so if you want to, you know, look now, says, be still. And in context, that really means to cease striving. Stop trying to control. Be still. And so learning to be still can help us to focus on the one thing that is right in front of us and to cherish what is right in front of us for the opportunity that it is giving us to grow. Number five, I will learn to listen. I will learn to see without judging. I will learn to see without judging. I will learn to listen to others without judging. I only have so much time, so I can't say nearly as much about this as I would like to. One thing that would be helpful is that when I look at somebody that's different from me, when I look at somebody that looks different from me, that smells different from me, that in whatever way is different than I am, there are two things I need to realize. Number one is that that person is created in the image of God just like I am. Somebody please say amen to that. That person is created in the image of God just like I am, and that I have my own sins and shortcomings just like they do. Okay, so before I get all caught up in who's on the mobile patrol app, before I get all caught up in whose criminal record is posted online, before I get all caught up in any of that kind of stuff, may I remember that that person is created in the image of God just like I am, and that my sins and my shortcomings are really no greater than theirs, and you and I both are in need of the grace and the mercy of God. I will learn to see without judging. And I will learn to listen to others without comparison or competition, even in my own head. I can carry on a conversation with you, and I can listen to what you're telling me, but all the while, my monkey brain is comparing us, and we're in competition in my head if I'm not careful. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Men are really bad at that. So I will learn to listen to others without comparison or competition, even in my own head, and I will learn to listen without judging. And some of you are saying, how in the world can I do these things? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Our minds are only transformed with the help of God. We ask God to change the way we think. God has to help us, and then we have to develop a practice. We have to develop a practice. We have to have a daily time, in my opinion, a daily time of reading and quiet time and prayer, whatever it is. There needs to be a time every day when it's just me and God. And when I am not disturbed by any outside, I don't know if it's for you, it may be early in the morning. That's when it is for me. For some, it may be late at night, depending on what type of person you are. But you need time every day to connect with God. Some of you are saying, that sounds like kind of weird stuff. Some of you are skeptical. Never heard that in Sunday school before. Well, one thing for sure is that if you don't change anything, then you're not going to change anything. So if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. So we can keep living in the past with the shame, the remorse, the guilt, the regret, or the success, the arrogance. Or we can keep worrying and fretting and trying to manipulate and control people, places, and things in the future that we think might possibly come about. We can continue to play the role of the chairperson of the outcomes committee, and we can hope that things might be different. But my question for you would be, how's that working for you? How much peace and joy and contentment do you have, really, in your life living that way? Jesus drove this point home in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He drove the point home, beginning at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's largely a matter of perspective. How do you look at things? Do you see things as God controlled? Do you see the universe as God being present everywhere and God being in charge? Or do you look through the lens of the worldly system? Is everything about worldly kingdoms and worldly empires and worldly success and worldly power? What's your perspective? What are your eyes taking in? If the lamp of your body, if your whole body is full of light, then you're going to have a much healthier perspective on life. If, however, your view is of the darkness, if your view is of the worldly system, then you're constantly going to be irritable and restless and discontented. Verses 25 through 34. Do not worry. Now, if you skip to the end of this sermon, you already know that Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and puts them into practice, right? So this is not some lofty ideal that's impossible. Because some of you are saying, I just can't not worry. Jesus has already told us it's possible. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. Why do you worry about these things? That's what the pagans do. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, because, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, there you go. Jesus says it. Doesn't matter that Mark says it. Jesus says it. Why do you worry? Why do you worry? Calvin and Hobbes. This is good, isn't it? We're so busy watching out for what's just ahead of us that we don't take time to enjoy where we are. Yeah. We're so busy watching out for what's just ahead of us that we don't take time to enjoy where we are. Some of you are missing this moment right now. Now, this may sound a little bit like the last night at church camp. But think about it. Some of you, time, restaurant, afternoon activities, that's where your mind is. Plans for tonight, what's going to happen tomorrow, who's going to win football games. You see how easy it is to let the mind wander. Some of you regret yesterday, or you regret something you said to a family member a few days ago. And so that regret's still kind of eating at you. But my point is, you're missing what God might be saying to you right now. Right now. Because we don't take time to enjoy where we are. I don't know anything about Jim Elliot, but I like this quote. Wherever you are, be all there. So this is where you are right now. So let's be all here for the next few minutes. Richard Rohr says, talking about this way of thinking, it is actually living in what he calls the naked now, the sacrament of the present moment. That means where God is. The sacrament of the present moment that will teach us how to actually experience our experiences, whether good, bad, or ugly, and how to let them transform us. Words by themselves will invariably divide the moment. Pure presence lets it be what it is as it is. When you can learn to be present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, you will know the real presence, capital P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. When you can be present, you will know the real presence. I promise you this is true, and it is almost that simple. Can you see that okay? That was taken yesterday morning. Lucy, that's your hand. I got up, not as early as I normally do, but relatively early, because I have my morning routine. And for whatever reason, Lucy decided she wanted to get up too. And we had about an hour and a half together, just us, before anybody else was awake. And folks, I used to stink at cherishing these kind of moments. And I almost did yesterday. Because I found myself thinking, okay, I've got to go work out, and I've got to do this at 10 o'clock, and I've got to get this PowerPoint done so I can get it to Danny, and we got to be somewhere, you know, we got to go do some shopping, and we got to be somewhere at 3 o'clock or 3:30 or 4, whatever time it was. You see my point? I was thinking about what I thought I had to do later on that day that I almost missed this moment. Moments like this are where God is. God wasn't at all in my plans to work out or to go eat lunch. This is where God is. Moments like this. May we be released from the bondage of our past, the shame, the guilt, or even the pride and the arrogance. May we see our pasts as valuable tools in the hands of God to work through in order that we may be a blessing to others. May we plan wisely for the future but realize we aren't responsible for results. May we not obsess and worry and be afraid of the uncertainty of the future, but may we come to trust in the one who holds the future. May we be still and know that God is God. May we rest in the present and the presence. May we experience the peace and the joy and the contentment that only that presence can bring. And may we be a shining light for others who are caught in the regret of the past or the worry of the future, that are searching for a better way. May we show them life in the kingdom of God, what life can be like in this present now. If you're more interested in learning about this Jesus way of life, if you have a need for which we can pray, Danny's going to come and lead us in a song, and this would be the time for you to let those wishes be known. Let me close. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.